Welcome to the podcast of BBC Radio 3's Music Matters. I'm Sarah Moore Peach. Bill is the celebrated sound artist Bill Fontana, who took me on a fascinating walk through the Suffolk reed beds.
A lot of times I'm taking sounds and putting them somewhere where they're really out of context. And here they're really an extension of this context, and you have this possibility to create the illusion of something that maybe could be here, but actually isn't here.
Pebbles and reed beds, birdsong and bleach skies. We're off to Snape Maltings on the Suffolk coast, home of the Aldborough Festival, to meet the celebrated American sound artist, Bill Fontana. A one-time student of John Cage, Bill started out composing, but in the 70s moved quickly into working as a sound artist, mapping sonic environments across time and space. His work takes him all over the world. He's made sound sculptures of wave patterns in Sydney Harbour and recorded the sound of a solar eclipse in the rainforest. In 2006, in London, he transmitted the creaks of the Millennium Bridge into Tate Modern's Turbine Hall, using accelerometers which pick up sound vibrations that the human ear can't. 4 years ago, he used them again in a residency at the Hadron Collider in CERN. His work always involves bringing one acoustic environment into another. And this year, Bill's been invited to Snape Maltings to celebrate 50 years since music first arrived on the industrial site. He's made three installations there. One sound piece in a derelict part of the building, a video installation in the Dovecot studio, and the first one we visited, hidden in some trees by the reed beds.
Yeah, there's eight loudspeakers in these trees.
I came here yesterday evening for the performance of Benjamin Britten's Midsummer Night's Dream, and during the intervals I came and sat out at the cafe, which looks over the reed beds. And suddenly I was aware that there was a whole flock of wild geese flying over. And I looked up and there weren't any wild geese. Yeah. And I realised that it was coming from your sound installation. It was a profoundly strange, otherworldly experience because it felt so totally normal here to hear wild geese, but then suddenly they weren't there. It's an amazing effect that it has. Do you think about that much when you're working on a piece, translating in a way one sonic environment onto another or transposing it? Do you think a lot about the impact that that has on the listener and the slightly unsettling thing in a way of where am I?
Well, I think I'm interested to kind of wake up people's kind of a certain side of their brain that maybe isn't. What's unique about this is a lot of times I'm taking sounds and putting them somewhere where they're really out of context. And here they're really an extension of this context, and you have this possibility to create the illusion of something that maybe could be here, but actually isn't here.
Right.
And it stimulates a certain kind of engagement and thinking process.
So where do... Look, there are the wild geese.
Yes.
There they are. They're not there. Where are they? Where do they come from? Where did you record them?
This wildlife refuge is just up the coast. There's an hour-long twilight recording. But in this, I'm mixing the twilight and the dawn. And I'm also... did some kind of interesting sort of time stretches and pitch transpositions to make it seem a little bit like a jungle. And one of the reasons I did that is I wanted to kind of create a sense about how I listen to things. In a way, everything I had ever listened to before somewhere in my memory banks. And when I go in a situation and I start listening to actual sounds, my memories of other sounds I'd listened to start to play in my brain. And so I have this sort of inner composition running, kind of relating what I've heard in my past life with what I'm hearing at the present moment. And I wanted to convey this sort of sense of magic that has for me. And so that's why I called it Sonic Dreamscape, because it's like when I look at this landscape and start to hear it, that kind of inner dream sound starts to take shape, and I wanted people to have that experience themselves.
So right now I'm inside Bill Fontana's head.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's much more interesting than being inside my head.
Well, I don't know. How do we get inside your head?
I don't know. Let's have a think about that. Where did the idea come from in the first place for you to start working in this way, particularly sort of mapping sonic environments and then putting them somewhere else?
It began as a composer. I thought of myself as a composer. I grew up within walking distance to the Cleveland Orchestra, and I go to a lot of concerts, and I was just fascinated by music. And as I got older, I became interested in the state of mind I had to be in order to create music. And when I was in that state of mind, my perception of sound became really heightened. And I actually became more interested in my heightened states of perception than I was in the music I was actually making. You know, there's a lot of people who can make and write music, but this wasn't something maybe someone else wasn't going to investigate, and maybe I should do this.
And at that time, finding an original voice in art was quite important.
Yeah, well, it still is important. I mean, I was also, at the same time, I was a philosophy student, so I was pretty good with language and concepts. And so I had this statement that, you know, I first started using back in 1968, is for me, the act of listening is a way of making music. And to this day, I never listen to recorded music.
Do you not, ever?
I don't. If I'm really, really desperately bored sometimes, maybe in an airplane or a very long car drive, I might. But just walking around in the world, being somewhere, I really much prefer just the sounds. What I'm surrounded by is actually as interesting to me as any music can be. And the sounds that I'm actively listening to and surrounded by are never going to happen again. That moment is totally unique. And that I love the feeling of being connected to the present moment and being fully engaged with it.
And how big an influence was John Cage?
Well, an immense influence, in the sense that he, when I was going as a part-time student to this music conservatory called the Cleveland Institute of Music, I was really kind of the oddball in that school. And then I saw John Cage was teaching this class at the New School, so I left Cleveland, went to New York, took that class. Most of the time he wasn't even there, and there were other people teaching it, but I got to know him, and I was taken seriously with this interest for the first time in my life. I just became obsessed with it, and just wasn't a practical decision to make, because how do you earn a living doing this? But here we are 50 years later.
So you found a way somehow?
Yeah. Have you been inside of my little meditation chamber?
Okay, so this is the dovecot.
Yeah. So all this is a video of the reeds.
So this is an acoustic vision of the River Auld Marshes.
Yeah. The sound is from... is actually a sound, literally, that the reeds are making, but it's not a sound you would hear standing there, because I put accelerometers in the reed bed, so you're getting the material vibration of the reeds.
So it's the vibration, not the sound of the wind in
right.
the marshes.
Right.
It's amazing. It's a very intimate space, this dovecot, you know, with its plywood walls, and it's dark at the moment. And totally dominated by this big screen right across one wall, with reeds on it. And my experience normally of standing at those reed beds outside the Maltings is of openness and breadth, and somehow this is it's a very different experience being right in the middle of them, being enclosed in this way.
There seems to be a happy bird outside.
That's outside, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not on.
No.
Not on the recording.
It's reality.
So So this is the third location of your installation, Sonic Time Lapse.
That's right.
You've called it. And we're hearing sounds of machinery in this sort of derelict courtyard.
Yeah.
With a long row of arches and some foliage sprouting out of the brickwork. So the idea of sort of bringing the industrial history and past of the State Maltings to this space, is it partly about sort of capturing this moment in time?
Right.
As well as a previous moment, you know,
yes.
This moment where it's not going to look like this forever either.
Right. There's something, to me, there's something really magical about this space. It's full of history, it's full of senses of times past. I guess I see this as kind of like the heartbeat of the place.
The machinery that we're actually listening to, is it machinery that's in any way related
yes.
to what would have happened
yes.
here at the Maltings?
Yes. Yes.
So what am I hearing?
It was some kind of big kind of machine pump that would power machines processing malt. But it was recorded in a very special way. I made different time-stretched versions of the recording by taking a very fast-moving mechanical device like a machine and stretching it in time and pitch enables you to hear the rhythms.
Partly because of the rhythm that's going on, of the three, this feels like the most obviously musical.
Yeah. I suppose it is.
Do you consider what you do to be music? Are you a composer?
I mean,
a sound artist?
I don't like to classify myself. I just consider myself an artist. I feel like I'm kind of like in my own category a little bit because I'm kind of on the edge of the art world. I'm not like really in the music world. And I guess I'm not really so much concerned with those labels. I'm more concerned with just the ideas and making the work. And so far, so good. Did you step inside?
Let me go in. Bill Fontana's installation in Snape Maltings runs until the end of the Aldborough Festival. And you can hear broadcasts of concerts from the festival here on Radio 3, starting on the 22nd of June. And Snape Maltings have just announced big plans for redeveloping that derelict building which we walked around. More accommodation for resident artists and a centre for music, health and well-being. And if you enjoyed hearing those amazing soundscapes in Bill's work, then check out the episode of Music Matters which went out last Saturday, a whole programme about recording the sounds of nature. Fascinating stuff. You can find it online or download our podcast. This is Music Matters on Radio 3. I'm Sarah Moore-Peach. Today, meeting three exceptional American artists, all of them touched down on British soil at the moment for different projects.